Greetings, sisters and brothers. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I have the privilege of being the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church, and I'd like to welcome you today to this wonderful time of worship in our worship podcast. This is brought to you by the loving labors of many people, and I want to give them a shout out for all their hard work and all that they do to make this possible. And now, sisters and brothers, we gather on this fifth Sunday of Lent on March 21st to celebrate and to move and to examine. So let us prepare our hearts as we call ourselves to worship.
Call to worship. Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, all who feel the weary spots in your souls, and I will send my love. Come, sisters and brothers, and heed the call to be in covenant community, in relationship and commitment to God and to one another. Come, let us worship. Amen. Call to confession. Dear friends, we are called in this season to be a people who confess our brokenness and our missteps. More than this, though, we are called to confess that we belong to God, that we are God's people, and that it is on this path of love that God sends us in this moment. Come, let us pray in silence today, offering our lives and our hopes to this wonderful God who comes to us in Christ Jesus.
In a world where the powers of evil try to convince us that falsehoods are true, in a world where people spread confusion and anger, into this world we arrive as ones who seek truth. As we confess that we belong to God, we also seek to speak truth in places of falsehood, to sow love in a landscape of hate. And in the journey we seek, we receive the acceptance and forgiveness of a God of wonderful abundance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven and made whole in this moment. I will be reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, a new covenant. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
Our next scripture comes from the book of Psalms. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Ndalesoni mtazani kwa za koto maina marika na wasitindua wana tikine ndua kina tikine tindua wazangu na kinorom yenir sator bola ka kichirjileni ke pedi faki ke pedani ena unbunun viulide Satalako kwa ederu wana nona tisepeli. Asa kabirao. Ndo lako kina korole ilai sa andu numa kikimrao. Yendo na dhendo sa adhuru kina. Ndo nukunia sarendo na lubi ni asa sa noketu. Sa sangani bundoka. Ndo na tomata. Ndo sereka kakautamai. Ikebuka indua sa kabe kimrao. Ndo sa kita kongwa nipunidaba. Ndo sa kandukaya sayanga wana turanga. Enangai tali kwa sarma kike. Arsalako kakunia na lubiniasa sanoko tuwe na mateni katumba. Ene tikina sa sota pata kina. Erona sala. Arosa sereka. Iye kasovira ersatukuna. Ersaka virau. Adaban rosa sereka kina na lubiniasa. Arosa kavira. Bevaka kabaoroto kuchisu. Arsangai liberal milaku. Rosa kota no lubiniasa bichisu, katebuga kina no non risulu, asaba bunda ki kwaya. Arsai lebung, arsatibuga no non risulu, nengoni sala. Kasota le, eratamusuka, esona tabanikau, kambita kina ngoni sala. Ikuira rasai liu, kira samuri, ersakadi kakaya, osana, sakalungata, salagu maina dani turanga. Sakalungata na matentu ni tevita na nondangasi kukua kaedu mai osana kitha kisara. Asaduru kukua kichuri silemi kinabali ni sorote langa eni sabari vibuli na kakibe nga sangai kabi mai salagume kukua kipedhani kira nileti ngarua. Nidhingu babaka lo tataka na kilu nono wasa indi dai. Meni.
Good morning, friends. I'd like to invite you to be in prayer this day. Let's pray together. Gracious and wonderful God, we give you the thanks and you the glory as we come to explore the sacred text today. Pour out your spirit on each one of us so that whether hearing or speaking, embracing or listening, we are one in the Spirit, one in your wonderful love. Pray for understanding and for a deepening of all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I think I can say without fear of contradiction that the last year has taught us that, well, things change. You know what I'm saying? As we kind of mark this 1 year anniversary, if you will, of the onset of this pandemic, you know, we might want to take note. I think most of us knew on some level that things change, right? I mean, we've experienced change in our lives, some good, some not so good, right? Yet I got to be honest, this pandemic thing has really pushed the change thing, at least for me, in so many ways. I have this crystalline memory of the few days before we locked down a year ago, before we made this enormous collective effort to keep each other safe. And if you had asked me then, if I knew that things could change, I'd have, you know, very glibly said, sure, I know that. And I would have added that maybe I spent some part of my life work trying to create change. Little did I know, though, that the change to come would challenge not just me, but all of us. It would push us to get clear on what's really important. It would challenge us and our sense of friendship, family, community, as we hunkered down in our homes and saw little of one another, unless it was on some Zoom screen, right? And it would challenge our sense of church, of ministry, of how it is that we focus on being a faithful, Christ-centered community. But wow and wow again, because change poured forth like a torrent upon us, didn't it? You know, and I can't help thinking about it as I mull and pray over this passage from Jeremiah today, you know, because we see God essentially proposing a pretty big change for the people of Israel. He's about to change the terms of the relationship that God has with the people. I mean, have you ever had to change a relationship before? Because, well, maybe it just wasn't working, or maybe you changed. I mean, for us, that can take a lot of different shapes, right? But God, being God, announces that it's time for a new covenant, a new arrangement. Why? Well, if we're honest, we'd have to say that we didn't do all that great keeping the old one. I mean, God liberated the people from enslavement in Egypt. God led them to the promised land, and well, Israel went after false gods. The gods of power, and nation state, the power of greed. You know the story. I don't need to enumerate it all for you. It's right there. But God is basically saying in Jeremiah here, okay, right, that's behind us now. I forgive you for what is past, and I don't hold this against you anymore. Thank God, after observing us for more than a little bit, had come to the conclusion that though God did amazing things for us, we had a little trouble responding in kind. We had trouble, one might say, with our priorities. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just really weren't particularly faithful, were we? But God comes here through the prophet and proposes a fundamental shift in how we relate. The terms of this new covenant, says God, will be written on our hearts. It will be written within them. That means us. It will be part of who they are. It will be so much a part of the people that teaching them the way will no longer be necessary, for they will know it. They will intuit it. They will sense it down, down, down deep. They will know in the very fiber of their being the difference between right and wrong, and they will have the courage to act. They will be able to discern and understand the authentic God of love, the God of life and new beginnings. They will be able to discern the difference between this God and the never-ending cyclone of false gods who compete for our attention and our loyalty. For people like us, I gotta be honest, this is a tall order. I think we will struggle with this covenant. I think we already have been. We still wander and have trouble being faithful, right? We have difficulties at times with authenticity, or in other words, it's simply not easy for us to claim holiness is part of who we are. And yet God offers us a new deal. It's not a green new deal, not a new deal of FDR. God calls us to a new kind of covenant, a new relationship. And we find that relationship anchored for us in the life, teachings, and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this new covenant is based not so much in a simple adherence to law or rules, but rather to a deep, deep commitment to God and to one another through Christ. In this covenant, we don't go church shopping until we find the one with the programs or the pastor that we like. Because you know what'll happen? That'll change and you'll leave. We don't wait for a faith that sculpts itself to our desires. No. No, this covenant, this new covenant comes to us in this season as we begin to fully embrace God's new sense of redemption. This redemption, foreseen for us by the prophet, is the redemption that emerges from a life rooted in the commitment to the reality of God's love. This new covenant is given historic shape as God gives God's self for us on the cross in Christ Jesus. And I need to say here that this will tend to upend some people's view of Christianity, but then maybe that's part of the change that we need to dream together about a church renewed and revitalized. And I get it. I know that for many of us, that the deal is that Christ had to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Oh, that's what I was taught. But what if it's not a transactional paying off of the debt of our broken and crazy ways? What if the true miracle in this story we observe, celebrate, and pray over is more about love and how love heals, and not so much about a body of law and rules that must be followed upon pain of punishment? What if it's more about the love that touches, heals, transforms, more about us allowing that love to be written upon our hearts? Wow. This kind of change is bigger than anything the pandemic has brought us. This change is epic. It is, as Jeremiah tells us, something brand new. So what's different in this new covenant for us as individuals and as community? I think that one of the key things we need to embrace is that somehow, somewhere, the power of this new covenant has indeed been written on our hearts. It has forgiven us our mistakes, our missteps, our blunders, sometimes our downright deliberate intent to do harm. And it invites us into a deep, deep relationship with the holy. It invites us into a loving, covenantal relationship with God. It pulls us from the muck and mire of our habitual greed and violence. It rescues us from the tyranny of our own narrow points of view. And it lifts us up with joy to begin life anew, almost as it says in the Gospel of John, like being born again. So all this change stuff is okay, sort of. But, you know, if I'm honest, I got to say change is not my favorite thing. In fact, my dad used to always say that all people don't like change, but church folk really hate it. And I'm a church folk. And yet, friends, that change is upon us. As we look around and see our church and the shape of churches in our denomination and in our nation, the time for change has come. And as we march on our way to wave our palm branches in Jerusalem and to shout loud hosannas, we can see the glimmerings of this change. As we forge a new vision and plan for this church, these changes will emerge in the way we live this covenantal love together. These changes will call us to risk new ways of doing things, from worship to mission to evangelism and back again. This love, this new covenant will awaken us and send us forward as we reach for a future of faithfulness and vitality. We will always need to be intentional and help each other, in fact. Keep love and relationship as the key focus for our lives and ministry. There's so much, my friends, that can distract us. So much that can take us out of what we're trying to do. So as we reach for this, as we reach for a future of faithfulness and vitality, let us be sure we keep that focus. You know, we're not in the business of turning around an institution. We're in the ministry of loving people into healing, hope, and transformation. So let us embrace this new covenant. Let us take a peek into each other's hearts to see what God has written there. And friends, let us renew our strength and enliven our courage as we move and dance and have our being to the rhythm of God's amazing, self-giving love. God bless you. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you as community this day. We come from many different places. We see through different eyes. We have different points of view, but we come united, knitted together by the power of your love. And God, each one of us comes having faced innumerable challenges in the past year. Each one of us comes having confronted grief and sorrow, frustration and isolation. Each one of us, God, comes having met challenges that we never thought we could meet. And yet, Lord, by the power of your grace and love, here we are. So we ask this day for an outpouring of your Spirit upon each one of us, upon this church. God, pour out upon us a spirit of patience as we work our way through the days yet to come in this challenging time. Pour out upon us a spirit of laughter and joy so that we might claim the wonderful power of the friendships we have through you. Pour out upon us a gentle sense of caring so that we might hear and understand the struggles of those in our community and beyond. And in all of it, God, we ask that you help each one of us in your way to be aware of your accompaniment, to know that you walk next to us, that you reside in our hearts, that you are one with us. And we ask that you help us to awaken to this amazing reality. God, we pray this and so much more, giving our lives so that we might build communities of hope as you have called us to, in the blessed name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lomamuni burbura, me bakasa daga melo malangi, nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kaka nerutiki mami, nimbukoda mandanine me mirava, Epaka ki mami sambo kova, wera sava vala viki mami. De ka kuni koti ki mami gina vere, ka muni vambuli ke mami mana va. Nisano muni ina mati nitu, kena kaukaua, kena langi langi, asanga ni mundu. Emeni.
Friends, now is the time in our worship service when we invite you all to give generously of your resources so that the ministry of this church might not merely continue, but might rise up in renewal and revitalization. We're grateful for your generosity, and there are a number of ways that you can give. I invite you to write your check and drop it off at the church and put it in the mail slot in the office door. Or you could write that check and send it in the mail to Petaluma United Methodist Church, 410 D Street in Petaluma. Or you can even go on our website and click the donate button and donate through our website. And lately, in the past couple months, we have opened up a way to give that is through texting. And there are instructions in this worship bulletin about how to pursue that. However you give, we are grateful. And we understand that you all return a portion of the blessings God has heaped upon us. So let us give now with kind and gentle and generous hearts. Let us pray. God, we dedicate these gifts to the work of your church. We dedicate these gifts to the new covenant of love and to our willingness to do what we need to do to make sure that love wins. And in all of it, God, help us to be that love, to be that presence. As these gifts go to make a difference, so do we go with our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. hear these words of benediction. Now, as we step away from this experience to step into our lives as we move together, let us move fully aware of the claim that God has on our hearts. Let us move being awash in the love that God has for us. Let us move to the rhythms and of grace and joy, and let us practice forgiveness and openness in every way possible through the grace and wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.